Hi, welcome to Cloud Sense. I am Jack Barugin, your host, and you know, I've got to tell you, I've got a great show for you today. Every now and then, you will hear me say that, only because there is an interview that I'm very excited about. And today, Jason Snook, who is one of the solutions architects from Quorum, is coming on the show, and he's going to tell us about disaster recovery. And I got to tell you why I'm excited about this, only because I remember being on a board of directors where I was voting hundreds of millions of dollars, folks. I'm gonna repeat that. Hundreds of millions of dollars towards disaster recovery. You know why? We didn't know what it was. We didn't. You know, a lot of us kind of looked at each other and said, yeah, we need it. Of course we need it. You know, the FIA tells us we need it. The CFTC tells us we need it. These are our regulators, you know, in the futures industry. So, you know, for me, it was more a question of, all right, well, how do we do this right? So I would go out there and I would actually talk to some of these vendors and I would listen to some of the things they would say, and they would throw initials at me. They would throw, you know, DR this, DR that. Then finally somebody came around and started explaining it to me, all right? And it was a guy that was actually from Quorum, all right? His name is Jason Snook, and he was telling me exactly, he laid it down for me, you know, and I've got to tell you, folks, I'm not an idiot, all right? Maybe my wife will tell you otherwise, but I'm not an idiot. So, I've got a, you know, one of those, and I won't tell you what my IQ is, but I've got a relatively high IQ, all right, which tells you that I'm not an idiot, and I will actually understand something as a concept when it's explained to me properly. I have not had disaster recovery explained to me other than just, you know what, pure and simple insurance until Jason explained it to me. And I said, oh, you know what, when I heard him talking about it, I said, I've got to have this guy on the show. You know, not only is he explaining what the DR is, because there are so many hidden costs, you know, to having everything go down, but more importantly, he's explaining it in layman's terms. You know, he's going to tell us a little bit about what it's like, you know, to prevent data breaches, okay? I mean, to understand what it means, you know, to have, you know, borderless data access. Things that are, to me, key, all right? And, you know, he's not going to come right out and say it, folks, but I got to tell you something. Here's a guy who is on the cutting edge. I'm not going to embarrass him, because when he comes on the show, I'm not going to say, oh, this is a guy who's on the cutting edge. It's like saying somebody is great. Yeah, you never do that. I've been around a lot of great people. Never once have I said, oh, this is a great person, as much as I thought they were great. All right, we're going to come right back, folks. Don't go away. I got a great interview with Jason Snook.
Are you in the market for cloud but wondering where to start or how to get the best value? Looking for help figuring out what you need without telling the same story to 10 different people? UCX is the cloud pricing and procurement marketplace. We quickly and easily help you identify exactly what you need, whether it's custom private cloud, bare metal, or VMs. We put your spec on our platform, where CSPs openly compete to deliver the best price, fit, and term. Save time, money, and find your cloud your way. UCX. Cloud buying made easy.
And welcome back, everybody. As promised, again, Jason Snook, who's the solutions architect with Quorum, is on the show. And you know what? I'm really excited about this interview, Jason. I got to tell you, I have not had anybody from the world of disaster recovery on the show before talking about this, in real down-to-earth English, all right, rather than being way up there in the stratosphere. But welcome to the show. Welcome to CloudSense.
Thanks a lot, Jack. Appreciate it. Love to be here. Yeah, you know, disaster recovery can be kind of a boring subject sometimes, and it can get really technical. So we're going to keep it light. We're going to keep it informational, and let's go for it.
Well, it's funny, because I was saying, you know, being on a board of a couple of companies, a couple of publicly traded companies, you know, disaster recovery was something that it was always in the shadows, you know, as far as I could tell as a board member. We know we needed it, you know, but we didn't know exactly what it was. Was it logistics? Was it, you know, what were we doing? Was it workspaces? Was it systems? But you know, it's changed these days. And you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about the world of of DR and about what you guys are doing at Quorum.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, requirement for it, but like you said, it's always kind of been there. It's always been in the shadows. A lot of people would designate DR, you know, I've got a tiny bit of budget for it. It's kind of my insurance policy. And then in the recent years, I'd say in the last 5 or so years, you get some really big name brand companies that go offline for a while or suffer some horrible outage because of either a storm or more recently ransomware. And now it's become, this DR thing has become, wow, this is not only not just a nice to have, this is I gotta have this. Otherwise my business is gonna, it's gonna take a hit if something happens.
Well, so that's part A. Let me stop you there for a second, only because in the introduction, what I said was one of the things that people just don't understand, at least, you know, the layman, you know, the technologists understand it, is how much downtime actually costs you. All right. That's a big expense. If you can't, I mean, people are so dependent on these processes and systems now that if you can't run your business for an hour, for 2 hours, whatever the case is, for a day, for a week, God forbid, you're in big trouble, aren't you? I mean, that's the way the world is now.
You know, it's not just about cost of downtime from a purely financial point of view. It is a cost of reputation. I mean, think about it. If you're running a company and you've got a reputation that you have spent a long time building, and all of a sudden people can't reach you, or all of a sudden you're sending them an email saying, "Hey, by the way, last month I'm really sorry to tell you we lost all of your private confidential information. Sorry about that. You're gonna have to change your password." Right? These are reputation things that don't go away overnight and don't go away with a great quarter afterwards. Right? The reputation pieces. Is kind of the unspoken gotcha when you're dealing with outages, when you're dealing with security breaches. Absolutely. Cost of downtime, the first thing people are going to see, the bottom line. What is the actual value of it? There's all kinds of calculators out there, but what I encourage people to do is take a holistic, real-world approach. Just say, all right, business leaders, how much do we lose if, let's say, our main accounting system goes offline for two hours? And then more importantly, what happens if that private and confidential information gets out of the building and gets exposed or shared or held ransom? What exactly is that going to do to us? And then that will help you drive, I think, a better DR decision. DR, it used to be super complicated and very, very expensive. It was one of those technologies that only the rich could have. Only the big companies could have an actual DR or business continuity solution that would resurrect services in just a couple minutes. But as technology has advanced over the last, again, I'd say 4 to 6 years, we're now in a world where everyone gets it. It's part of the deal, right? If you're buying technology, I don't care if it's in AWS or on-prem or some hybrid scenario, everyone has the opportunity to have DR and business continuity because it's not expensive anymore. And it's not complicated anymore.
Well, here, let's talk a little bit about what you guys are doing at Quorum. You use the term in your notes, zero trust. Tell me about, you know, data security in terms of zero trust.
Yeah, so, you know, we at Quorum, we do business continuity. We do disaster recovery. But we also hear all the time, because we're talking about, when we talk to execs within companies, and when we talk to the CIO level guys, they usually bring in their chief information security officer guys, and they want to know, okay, cool, you guys have a platform that I can run that can instantly recover from any outage, but what can you do for me for securing the crown jewels, right? Zero trust. And so Quorum actually has a sister company called Ciro. Ciro does zero trust for databases. These two, on the surface, they might seem like completely different entities, but in reality, the conversation goes back and forth very easily. So what zero trust means is essentially breaking down those traditional ways that we've built up technology with firewalls and DMZs and VPNs and just a bunch of technology that essentially builds a super high wall and a super wide moat. But instead, with zero trust, you're actually able to open up the door, provide verification services, and just say, hey, listen, I don't care who you are. If you're a machine, if you're a program, if you're a human, I'm going to make sure that I verify you before you get access to the crown jewels. That's what zero trust does. And the combination of deploying a zero trust for databases and zero trust for networking along with business continuity, you now have a holistic approach that says, if anything bad happens, from a hardware failure to a storm to some ransomware event, or if someone comes in and tries knocking on the door to steal data, you now have a total encapsulated approach to where none of that stuff is a worry anymore. You can be back online in seconds, and you can prevent, you can be notified if someone is trying to take out, hijack your data, get it out of the building without you knowing about it.
You know, Jason, when you explain it like that, it's so logical to somebody like me who is not a technologist. But let me ask you, how many people out there are embracing that holistic approach? Because, you know, it just seems as if it's so fragmented. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, my goodness, what you are saying is so damn logical to me. You know, and I mean, are people getting it?
Slowly. It's slow. It is slow, Jack. I mean, sure. I'm trying to explain this in a logical and a very pragmatic approach, right? But yeah, it's a slow change. I mean, anything to do with changing infrastructure or spending money on, again, business continuity, which is kind of an insurance policy. Even if we've brought the price of business continuity way down, from where it was 5 or 6 years ago, and even if we've increased the abilities for, a much less bottom end price, still the adoption is on the slow side. And I think the reason is technologists and companies, they want to figure out how to create really interesting, sticky applications and programs for their users and for their customers, so they'll increase their inbound business flow. And again, business continuity is kind of still on that secondary frame. So what I'm trying to do is advocate and scream to the world, business continuity is not expensive anymore, and it's not difficult. It's all, when you take the holistic view, when you actually take, okay, I've got the stuff I need to maintain, I need to make sure it's always online. When you take that holistic view, the technology behind it is, you know, it's evolved to the point where it's kind of simple. And the pricing, because of competition, and again, because of technology, what allows us to do, it's not expensive anymore. So yeah, what I'm trying to do is get it out of the shadows, keep it logical, keep it a pragmatic approach to it. But on the same hand, let's forward the conversation that everyone should be looking at a business continuity and a true DR plan.
Well, here, let's shift the conversation a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about data breaches. You know, I mean, this is the kind of thing that my wife, who's an RN, all right, who knows nothing about technology, freaks out about every time she hears something on the news, because she buys something online at, you know, Victoria's Secret for our daughter. Yeah, it's for our daughter. Trust me, folks. All right. But more importantly, I guess my point is that, you know, what is, you know, the industry doing to really stop these horrific data breaches, right? And I guess,
yeah.
And where's Quorum in that world?
Yeah, so they're building, yeah, what's the industry doing? They're building more walls that they then poke holes in for devices to communicate. And when you go that traditional security model where you build a super high wall and you build in a DMZ and then you start poking holes in it for the humans to talk to it, the machines to talk to your database, those holes are how data gets out, right? The threat is no longer from the outside. The threat is, what is sitting on-prem? What device in your network has been compromised, just waiting to talk to your database and start siphoning out data, right? The threat is not from the outside anymore. It's on the inside. So what are companies doing? They're buying all kinds of really expensive, you know, traditional security products, where instead what I think they should be doing is looking, again, take that holistic approach. Let's look at it from a zero trust point of view. Zero trust is a pretty cool idea, which means, again, I'll open up the door, but I'm not going to let you in unless you can prove who you say you are, right? I'm going to make sure that I apply common sense stuff like multi-factor before you get in. I'm going to make sure that if you're a machine and you want to talk to my database through your program, I'm going to make sure that you, Mr. Machine, are who you say you are. So if you take that approach, you can finally get away from spending a bunch of time on worrying about a data breach, and then on the business continuity side, worrying about downtime. And now you can actually go out and build some pretty cool applications that are sticky, that are fun, that drive business value.
Yeah, you know, talking to you, I realize now that it's more than just dollars and cents. You know, that reputational risk is got such a high price to it. And people many times underestimate that price. And I don't think they factor it in properly. And that's one of the reasons maybe they don't have that holistic approach. But Jason, I got to tell you, I you know what? It's fascinating listening to you talk. Hey, listen, before I lose you, I'm going to have you ask you one more question. You're on the cutting edge. You're seeing what's happening out there in the world of security. Do you see anything special happening? Is it, you know, whether it's with artificial intelligence or with machine learning that you can, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and say, wow, that's going to change the world in another 3 to 5 years.
Oh man. Okay, so we could go on for a long time if you want to talk about what's cutting edge and what's fun. So the cool thing that here's how I see it. The machine learning is kind of still at its infancy, right? The idea behind machine learning is that it's going to bring us to ask better questions, and it's going to look at data in a way that we've never looked at it before, because we're not a machine and we haven't been programmed to look at it in a completely different paradigm. And so what you'll be able to do with machine learning eventually, and maybe there are companies that are doing this now, but eventually what you're going to be able to do is you're going to say, not only, you know, there's this idea behind heuristic detection, which is just look for something that's different or abnormal, right? But with machine learning, you're going to be able to predict what is abnormal, and you're going to be able to predict ahead of the time, this is what an attack is going to look like. And if you've got the right products in place, you can block that attack either as it's happening. Because the machine learning also has not only the ability to help you ask better questions, but it has the ability to define actions. So if machine learning is sitting there and it's presented you with a mechanism where you can say, hey, I'm pretty sure I know what the next attack threat or the next attack vector is going to look like. And when I see it, I've got this tool in place that will sever that connection and tell everyone about it. That's the next thing, I think, in cutting edge security. Same thing for business continuity. If you look at why systems fail, they fail. I hate to say it. They still fail because a lot of times there's human error involved. And if you are able to apply machine learning and get predictive about when a outage is going to happen, well, you can already have everything all tested and staged and ready to go just before that outage hit. It's kind of like an early warning system, right? We've got them for storms. We've got them for other events. When are we going to have them for a predicted failure, not just of a hard drive failing, but of a human making a mistake that's causing an outage, or maybe a network, a giant BGP routing issue that's going to cause an outage, or like the big outage that happened, what, a year or so ago with Dyn DNS, where it took down Netflix on the East Coast, mm-hmm. right? That's a big one. So machine learning is going to help us predict those, and it's going to help us take action before they actually happen.
That's cutting edge. That's what's coming.
That's fun stuff, right?
Jason, that is probably the perfect place to end this. You've been listening to Jason Snook. He's the solutions architect at Quorum. And I got to tell you, you know, this was a great, fascinating, educational type of interview. And Jason, please promise to come back on the show.
All right, will do. Anytime, Jack. Appreciate
it. All right. And you've been listening to Cloud Sense. I'm Jack Barugin. I'll be talking to you soon.